let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's always a pleasure to welcome Elizabeth Clayton back to This Week in America. She's been called brilliant, artistic, contemplative, inspiring, and vibrant, all the while maintaining her humility. Elizabeth is the author of the poetry collections, including The Myth of Being. She was an educator who started her teaching career at the University of Southern Mississippi when she was 20 years old. Following her retirement as a teacher, Elizabeth shifted her focus to her literary works, reviewing and publishing drafts prior to final publication. Her autobiography chronicles her struggles with bipolar disorder. She has published 18 nonfiction books comprising poetry collections for the most part. Elizabeth has received a great deal of citations, recognition for her works. In November 2012, she was inducted into the Literary Hall of Fame, Sigma Kappa Delta, nominated for the Eric Hoffer Award in 2013. Forward Magazine also featured her in the summer of 2013 summer edition. Her work, Scarlet Flow, was exhibited in the World Book Fair in London, England in 2013, and perhaps one of her greatest achievements, being featured in the New York Times New Voices, New Perspectives segments, January 5th, February 9th of 2014. She received her bachelor's degree in English. Her book, The Myth of Being, published by Author Reputation Press, reflects her earliest impressions and memories. Transcribed while she was young, the book includes verses from the period of time 3 or 4 years of age until her second marriage to her struggle with bipolar illness in the 1970s. We welcome back to This Week in America, Elizabeth Clayton, to discuss The Myth of Being. Elizabeth, welcome back to the program. It is always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is going to be a fascinating discussion, and I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with you. Let's start off by talking about the significance of the title of the book, The Myth of Being. How did you come up with that title?
The Myth of Being is just a simple declarative sentence which states a fact, and I am saying that being, something that all people today are very much into, they want to be, they want to accomplish and have a lot of isness in being, the whole thing is a myth. You do not become, you are not being when you accomplish a goal. That is simply a guidepost for you to step by. And myths are those things that are about tangible houses, horses, wars, people.
Yes.
And that is not what we're talking about. When a person wants to begin his search for being, he makes very strong, hard, difficult decisions and steps, and it is that effort that promotes his being. It is not something he puts on the wall when he gets there. He doesn't ever get there. It bothers me when people say, oh, he's such a fine man. He's sought and he's looked and he knows everything. It bothers me because I think, I would rather be around a man who is still seeking rather than one who has found.
Fascinating concept there. Do we ever really find that out, who we are, feel comfortable with that? Do we ever know for sure?
I don't think so. I think that we have a feeling of contentment as we grow older.
Yes.
God is good to us, and he gives us the ability to reflect and the ability to compare and to enjoy the fruits of our labors. And I think as we grow older, if we have put our goals, our bliss, our grails in the right places so that we have these guideposts, but then in the trek along the way between them, we become, we are who we are.
We feel that. Yes. Elizabeth Clayton, our guest on the program, talking about her work, The Myth of Being. Would you call this piece a story, a verse, or other?
It is a narrative in a sense because it begins with my very first impression and ends with the sort of middle of my second marriage. But it is really a verse prose piece. It is a verse prose narrative. There's a lot of poetry in it, and there's a lot of prose in it. So we call it verse prose.
Why don't you set this up for us a little bit? Give us some necessary particulars as to the time, the setting, and some of the major players that we'll read about in your book, The Myth of Being.
Well, the setting, of course, is in just abject, poor, poverty-ridden Mississippi after the years, in the years following the Great Depression. My father was a dirt farmer, and he farmed on halves so that he could feed his family. He had an 8th grade education. My mother had an 11th grade education. But they were very bright people. They were very creative people. They were very driven people. They were monomaniacal. They were so driven. And they were not going to stay where they were. And so they did not. And so when we children, my youngest brother was about 3 or 4, my third brother, Daddy just packed us up in a little T-model, I think that's what they called them, and drove us to a ministerial school that would take people who did not have a graduate high school degree, and he and my mother both took their GEDs and graduated and went on to MC and took their baccalaureate. And so their lives is a saga of struggle, great struggle. We were so poor. But when we left the country, we left some of our innocence. We moved our fences out, and we became who we became. And we were greater than we would have ever been had we stayed. But we lost in the process.
And we see that unfold, and you do it so eloquently in your book, The Myth of Being. And as you're reading Elizabeth's book, it offers us an opportunity to be introspective, to look back on our lives and see some of those precious moments and those transitional changes that Elizabeth was talking about, her family going through. Is there a main theme or several themes that play out in the course of The Myth of Being?
I think the main theme in The Myth of Being is getting to the point where awareness can be married with concreteness. Now, that may sound like gobbledygook or something, I don't know, but we are aware of our sentiments. We are aware of our feelings. We are aware of our needs and all of these things that are very much abstractions. But we have to put them in some kind of frame that is physical or we can't understand them. And that's very unfortunate. Because we lose some of the true meaning of the awareness that we're capable of.
Is there a major conflict of the major character or characters
in the book?
That
is my major conflict. That is my major conflict all of my life. When I realized, just before I had the breakdown and entered the hospital, when I realized that life was composed of the tangible, the real, and all of the beauty that I knew and that I could feel and that I could sense was inside it. It had to be kept inside physical boundaries, and that grieved me into a melancholia that I have never been able to get away from.
So that's something that you still struggle with today, it sounds like.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
How do you deal with that?
Well, you take a lot of medicine, and you see a lot of therapists, and you spend a lot of time alone. Solitude is a very, very calming element in your life. It allows you to say, well, you're just plain different. You're just not like everybody else. And that's not to be pleased. I'm sorry I can't be just like everybody else. But if I keep my awarenesses, if I keep my secret feelings, if I keep my intuitions, then I can't be like everybody else. They don't talk about the same things I do. They don't hold importance to the same things I do.
Is that necessarily a bad thing?
No, it's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, some of the most beautiful things in life that have been given to us by creative people are the results of their struggle to try and say, hear me, please hear me, see what I have to say, see what I can do. This is my heart. This is my soul.
Elizabeth Clayton is our guest on the program, talking about specifically the myth of being, but so many works. And if you go to authorreputationpress.com, you'll find information there on the myth of being. You'll find that, of course, at Amazon, the usual places, and all of the books that Elizabeth has written over the years. What is the significance of the cover? This is a very fascinating and capturing cover of the book, The Myth of Being.
Yes, the cover is a sweet little memory. It wasn't a memory, it was an impression that I have any cognizance of was when I was crawling under a barbed wire fence, and I looked up and I saw the material that you see on the cover of the book, the blue, dark blue with the little white flowers that people did in their patterns back in those days. And evidently a woman was peeling some apples, red apples. And that's what I saw, and that's what I remember. That's my first memory.
This book is...
And I was probably less than three.
Well, I was going to say, this book really starts very early in your life. Talk about the time span covered in the book, the time span, the coverage, the years, and maybe any wisdoms that developed during this period.
Well, it does go back as far as I can go back, and the first verse that I was able to write in my thought well enough that I could transcribe it when I got to be about 20 was about a pair of black patent shoes that my mother had sold chickens and bought so that I would have some Sunday shoes. And it just goes on from there. And nature was very close. Nature was our best friend. Nature taught us everything. Nature taught us beauty, innocence, good, glory. When we talk about from the Divine Comedy and the people in the contemplated pasture, we speak of the glories that have been, and those glories are in nature. It's unfortunate to me, and a wisdom that, to answer your question, a wisdom to me would be to take our children back to nature, not on a hiking trip. They don't need to go on a hiking trip. Take them out and let them wander in the woods. Let them plait straws. Let them pick up pine cones, things like that. Nature is the most constant element in our lives. Nature always comes through, even with the bad and the good, and the late, and the early, it always comes through. Do you ever remember a year without a spring?
No, it's always there, isn't it? No matter what else sometimes comes and goes, we know that spring will be there, and we look forward to spring every year. And it's interesting because nature, is that sort of a place where that's your happy place where you can go and sort of escape and be by yourself? Because I know you spend a lot of time in the garden being outdoors.
I do. I plant my own flowers, I dry my flowers, I press my flowers, and I make beautiful designs with my flowers, and I paint them, and they are to me. I have said this so many times. I'm writing a book now called The Hinterlands, and I have said that the flower is simply a crown touched by the sunlight.
I love that. And you're working on a new book, too. Elizabeth Clayton, our guest on the program. This book we're talking about is The Myth of Being. You'll find it at authorreputationpress.com, Amazon, all of the usual places. Is this book, do you think, in the main, a record of your childhood growing into adulthood? Or does it talk about some of the other physical jousting that all children have the opportunity to go through and to grow from? Is yours different?
No, mine is not different. I think it's just a matter of degree. I was an unusually sensitive child, and that comes, you know, in conception, and we don't know how that all comes about. But I was very, very sensitive, and I think that all children go through school and church and family and places that they play and friends that they have and those kinds of things. But I felt everything intensely. And I was pre bipolar before I was old enough to know the concept. Bipolars don't experience anything down the middle. Everything is intense.
And how are you doing now? We've talked about that before in talking about your autobiographical account. How are you doing now? It sounds like enjoying life and back continuing to write.
I'm still up and down, and I'm still, people think a little bit strange, and I enjoy a conversation, but there's no one to converse with. I enjoy conversation because I so seldom have anyone to listen to me. I don't have many people to hear me read my poetry, but I still enjoy exercising the feelings that are inside me. Rilke is a early modern German poet who's going to supplant probably Goethe before it's over with, and he talks about a word that's very descriptive. It's called dinga, D-I-N-G-A. He says, we're too concerned with dinga, dinga, dinga. We need to go inside the person. We need to go inside the person. And this is true of therapy. We have more people who are depressed, who are seeing psychiatrists, who are taking medicine all the time because they're trying to be treated with medication. Medication does make you more amenable to therapy. But you've got to help the hurting heart not to hurt for him to become well.
Elizabeth Clayton, our guest, back with us on This Week in America. Always a pleasure. And the time always goes by way too quickly talking this particular program about the myth of being. You'll find all of our other programs with Elizabeth by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Go to the archive section there, and you will find that all the programs on YouTube and all of the usual places for past programs, conversations we've had with Elizabeth. Was there a pivotal event that was sort of the center of the work in putting together the myth of being? Anything in particular?
No, not one that I can isolate and describe. It was a very busy, the years between 1212 and 1215 were very busy years. It was like I was a kettle that was boiling and our teapot and everything was coming out. And I did the two books, the Lesser Gods, and I did In Springtime Seals of Glory, and I did The Myth of Being. And all of them are saying, look, let's get down to what is really important in life. You know, all the problems that we have in our world, I can't believe that with the intelligence that we have among our people, that we couldn't appoint committees and say, now today we're going to attack this problem. It may take a month, 2 months, 3 months, but we could get rid of some of the minuses that are in our lives by recognizing that we are people who have feelings. We have needs. There's nothing wrong with that.
You need to run for Congress so that we can actually get somebody to do some of these things, because it doesn't look like that we are unable to solve
it. He will have to play the part to get to be in Congress. But once he gets in Congress, he doesn't have to say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll resign. You don't have to do that.
Well, yes.
You stand up and be a man and say, this is right and this is wrong, and this is the way we're going to do it.
It doesn't seem that difficult, does it? But something happens once you get there in the power and people tugging at you and throwing money at you.
Self-esteem is very, very detrimental. And it's kind of like the moth and the flame in the Limberlost. It's so attracted to the light because it so reflects itself that it wants to commune with it completely, which means even in its own physical death. And I'm afraid that's the way we go sometimes.
Elizabeth Clayton with us, a few minutes left in the program. I want to go back to this again because I find this fascinating. Why do you call being a myth? And the name of the book is The Myth of Being. Why is being a myth, do you think?
Because being is not any one, quote, dinga. It is not any one thing. It is not $1 million. It is not a large home. It is not a degree. It is not any of these things. It is the individual steps in the dust of life that get us to these points that we know are our bliss.
Well said, and something that we all can think about and contemplate. And as I'm reading this, what do you hope that people who read The Myth of Being, what do you hope that they take away from this?
I hope they will say, am I putting the emphasis in my life on the right portions in my life?
Yes.
It's sort of a time to step back and check up and see where we are. Because if you saw the movie The American Beauty, the man has everything he's supposed to have, but he's about to be shot in the back of the head. And I think that a lot of times that we live our lives and we say, well, I made $1 million, I had a pretty wife, I had 3 children that turned out all right, so I must have done okay. But why did I feel so bad? I'm afraid of death. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of illness, so forth and so on. We need to erase some of that dissonance.
As you look back...
And it's not easy.
Well, no, it's not easy, but it's something that we need to do, and you sort of encourage us to be circumspect.
We need to try.
Yes. And the book is the Myth of Being. And as you look back now on The Myth of Being, and you went back through this in your mind, doing that now, what are your thoughts as you go back, your feelings as you read what you wrote years ago, your observations at 3 and 4 years of age? How is that when you go back and you look at it now?
Well, I wrote this and I put it in italics in the book, and I wanted to read it to you. Being, quote, end quote, is a cognizant stance we enjoy when we fulfill all or some of our needs as we are able to do so. Some regret may insist, but it is when we fulfill all or some. But it is not the larger realization. So when we, everybody can't be chief. But we all have degrees of chiefhood in us. If we can plod and walk and struggle and agonize and try and reach part of that, we are being. We are being. We have reached being. It's not a fable. It's real.
Yes. And you discuss in the book, and we've discussed this before, in trying to escape that having wounded sensibilities and dealing with that. How do you deal with that? When you go back and you reflect on who you were, how you got to Elizabeth of today, how difficult is that to go back and... And maybe it's not difficult. Maybe it gives you a better understanding of who you are today.
No. I tell you, it is a very humbling experience. Life is an humbling experience, and I am thankful for the adventure that I have had.
Well, and I'm thankful that we have these conversations from time to time that help put everything in perspective. And it was certainly well worth the time we spent today, and looking forward to having this conversation. The book is The Myth of Being, one of many written by our guest on the program, Elizabeth Clayton. Her website for this book, the website to go to, would be authorreputationpress.com. It's available, of course, at Amazon, the usual places. Also, you will find all of her works there as well. And you mentioned what you're working on something currently?
Yes, I'm working on Hinterland Rose. Hinterland, it means, you know, the room behind, the darkness behind. It's a German word. And all of us have unconscious minds, of course, several levels. Some have more than others. But that's where the plotting, the struggling, the working, the pushing, the trying, the hurting, that's where that happens. And then what comes out is the become beautiful rose.
Well, you've hooked me. I can't wait to have an opportunity to talk about that as well. Elizabeth,
it should be out early in next year. Yes.
Oh, and we're almost there. So that is the good news that we'll have a chance to talk about that very soon. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I assume you'll go out to the garden a little bit later today and then enjoy some solitude out in nature.
Yes, and I'm probably going to write a verse or so. And that's a little bit of a, it's not a chore, it's just something that I do as a regular thing. But I've been painting some lately, and so I have some medieval pieces that I want to finish. There's never any time left over. Life is a feast, and we should go to table often, and we should stay a long, long time.
I am all for that. And I'll ask you one more question here. So when you get an idea, you sort of like stop and write that down and sort of build on
it
from there.
Yes, I keep a pad. I keep pads by my bed and in my studio and different places where I can write.
Well, your mind is
very
active.
Because you do forget. At least my age, I forget.
Well, I forget at my age, too. So it's like, okay. And I try doing the notes at night and my writing at night in the dark. I can't read it. The next morning I have this.
That's the most beautiful. Rick, that's the most beautiful. Save that. And go back to it a little bit later.
Well, you need to do that because as your mind is going, you need to take advantage of the thoughts. And sometimes you get these great messages.
And images are much more easily gotten down when they're coming in a hurry, and then when you go back to them, you bridge them together, and that's when you do the really cosmetic work, and that's fun.
Well, it is always a pleasure. I always learn something when you're with us on the program. Elizabeth, thank you so much. Happy holidays. Thank you for being here. Look forward to having you back to talk about the new book. Thank you for spending some time with us once again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Elizabeth Clayton, our guest on the program. The newest book we're talking about is The Myth of Being. You'll find it at authorreputationpress.com. Of course, information on Elizabeth at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.